Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to shared meals, and to their prayers. A sense of awe came over everyone. God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles. All the believers were united in sharing everything. They would sell pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. Every day they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. The Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Easter gospel readings up to this point have depicted the risen Lord standing with disciples who had gathered behind locked doors, as well as two who were just walking along their way, headed home after the harrowing events of the crucifixion. On each occasion, except perhaps for the appearance of Mary in the garden, those who encountered the risen Lord were not alone. They were gathered with other believers, and in some cases, unbelievers. Each of the previous gospel narratives have focused on what transpired between the risen Lord and those who saw him. Today we find another gathering of believers. This time the focus seems to be on how their encounters with one another were influenced because of the message of the resurrection, how a resurrection influenced community and relationships within the community. Today isn't about seeing the risen body of Christ, but about being the body of Christ. The astute Bible student might notice that the scripture reading for today is the concluding verses of Acts chapter 2, the narrative of the day of Pentecost, which, the last time I checked, is not today. In fact, we have four more Sundays to wake up before it will actually be Pentecost. I think there might be a reason for why this passage seems to be jumping the gun by appearing in the middle of the Easter season rather than on the actual liturgical observance of Pentecost. I think that reason is because community is something that can't wait, won't wait. Community is something that emerges when the Spirit gives birth to it and is found where the Spirit places it. You might say community is the end game of the resurrection. Community is the ultimate purpose and outcome of the resurrection. It is in community that the risen Lord is made known. These concluding verses of Acts chapter 2 give us a description of the community that emerged in the day of Pentecost. The first thing we notice is that they gathered together. The image is clear. Fellowship, breaking bread together from house to house, taking their meals with gladness. But what else describes the early community of believers? Is it the gathering part that makes them a community? There are gatherings, people who are in the same place together but never form a true community. Even when surrounded by crowds of people, we have the ability and even the tendency sometimes to remain largely focused on our own needs, our own agendas, and feel very much alone. Community might put us together, but being together isn't what makes a community. Believers were together in Acts 2, but it was something else that made them community. What else would be a reason to describe these disciples, these early believers, as a community? We see them as being a people who cared for each other. Actually, even their initial gathering was in response to what was necessary to care for one another in a time of need. These were people from various regions, Remember that part of the miracle of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, was that those from all of these different regions heard the message in their own languages. The day of Pentecost was a lot for them to take in and begin to process. Whatever was going to be communicated of the apostles' teaching, it had to happen before they dispersed, heading back to their respective regions. This meant they had to delay their departure after Pentecost, which in turn meant that they were going to need lodging and food. They were going to have to be hosted by the locals. There was information to disseminate, and the way in best which to provide that information was in their caring for the needs of one another. After their departures, the methods of forming community would shift and change somewhat. Then the apostles would be sent out to establish congregations in those regions. That, as we might guess, well, led to problems of its own. Conflict, misunderstanding, the need for further guidance. Those problems were then addressed by a letter-writing campaign by the Apostle Paul. Letters were sent and circulated to the congregations instead of gathering everybody back to Jerusalem to work things out. Can you imagine implementing the change of receiving instruction from gathering together and doing that instead by sending letters to everybody? But it worked. I don't think the early believers spent a lot of time developing this plan of ministry. I don't think they filled their week with webinars or Zoom calls to talk about it. I think they just did what needed to be done. Mundane things, small, ordinary things, necessary tasks that would meet the needs of one another. They didn't stop to ask themselves if they were doing it right. They just looked at it from the perspective of caring about one another. They made decisions and lived out those decisions from the perspective and understanding, the belief, the mindset, the worldview that they were a community, whether they were together any longer or not. They did what communities do, however they could get it done. The integral concept in Acts chapter 2 is not the gathering. The more important part is that the early believers were a community, a caring community that did what they needed to be done, however they could find a way to get it done. They were a community that was founded by the Spirit and defined by the Spirit and guided by the Spirit. They were a changing community and faced the challenges and realities with boldness. They were a community whose openness to the Spirit and compassion for one another lifted them above all the barriers. Community begins with an awareness of the needs of others. But to become a true community, there must be more than an awareness of those needs. There has to also be a desire to care for the needs that arise from the awareness. But a caring community does nothing. A caring community that does nothing to care about the needs or change the needs of others is still missing something that is essentially needed for a community. Caring must be expressed in action. Action that is taken to meet the needs as fully as possible. As the Epistle James reminds us, "What if one of you said, 'Go in peace, stay warm, have a nice meal'? What good is it if you don't actually give them what the body needs?" This is where the work of community begins. It takes effort to meet the needs of others, oftentimes a lot of effort. As the early believers found out, it required generosity. That is a term that suggests a degree of stretching one's personal regard for others and one's own effort to meet the needs. Generosity doesn't approach the needs of others with a bare minimum effort kind of response. Generosity goes as far as one can go to meet the needs, and then some. Generosity is a sharing that doesn't stop with contributions for others. It enters a zone of sacrifice. Did you hear about the hen and the pig that were walking down the street? They saw a sign that said, "Bacon and egg breakfast." The hen said, "Let's go in." The pig said, "Sure, for you, it's a contribution. For me, it's a sacrifice." That's the difference between being in the same place and being a community, regardless of whether you are together or not. That is generosity. That is community. That is sacrifice. But what does all of this have to do with Easter? Why is this part of the Easter lectionary for the fourth Sunday of Easter? Well, by the time Pentecost had arrived, the disciples had already seen the risen Lord. They'd seen the nail-scarred hands and the wounded side. They'd also seen, by this time, the ascension of the Lord lifted up from them and received into heaven. They had been promised that the Holy Spirit would fall on them, empowering them to become the church, a new community of believers, the very body of Christ, living in, touching, and transforming the world. Like Mary in the garden and like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, we're not always quick to recognize the presence of the risen Lord before us. Maybe as we see and hear this passage today on the fourth Sunday of Easter, what we are seeing is yet another manifestation of the risen Lord made known to us in and through community. Our lack of recognition might be a matter of the surprisingly unexpected places that Christ appears. It may also be a matter of not being the kind of community in which Christ is seen. For a community to be the manifestation of the risen Lord, we must be the kind of community that cares for the needs of one another, regardless of proximity to one another and regardless of the sacrifice such care might require. Heidi Haberkamp reminds us that we are the body of Christ. Christ's wounds are in us and in our neighbors, and yet there are ways that we ignore them or look away. How can we as Christians look at those wounds, at the needs of others, and put our hands out to touch them in a way that honors them? How can we care for others in a way that makes Christ known? Let us be known as the resurrection people who continue to sing our alleluias. But let us also be the resurrection people who make known the presence of the risen Lord by caring about and for the needs of one another. Amen.